Will you open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 61? Let me say again, glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us by means of internet, those who may be on the radio today. And we're glad you're part of the services from Benson Grove Baptist Church. And it's good to see Brother Gary and Miss Cindy back. And they are still recuperating. And you pray for Brother Gary. He's still battling the respiratory infection. And the rest of you, we've had folk who've been traveling, and they are back home. We're glad they're back home safely. And David and Ms. Watkins are here this morning. And did she have a cataract surgery? Thank the Lord. Amen. She's going to be seeing, and she'll look in the face of her beautiful son. Amen. Her handsome son. And thank God for that. You pray for Ms. Watkins as she's recuperating from her cataract surgery. And then I do want to remind you, if anybody would like to have opportunity, or you'd like to take opportunity this afternoon and help some people get back to their home down near Lumberton, they won't have much things to haul. It'll be mostly them, so it'd just be a trip down and back. It's not quite an hour, I guess, to Lumberton and back, down there and an hour back. But if you could do that, that certainly would be a blessing. We will not have our deacons meeting this afternoon. We're going to have to postpone that, or we are going to postpone that. I do encourage you to get one of the deacon nomination ballots. The Lord's Supper table has been moved, but there may be a few back there. There are a few up here if you'd like to do that. I certainly would appreciate you doing that, and if you will, do that. And I'll not try not to keep you so long. I've been blessed. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for the kind cards. And with everything else going on, you've sent me birthday cards, and I appreciate you doing that and for all the acts of kindness and things. And some of you this morning, even just beyond words, I thank you for that. And I would ask you to pray, if you would, please, for the Gatewood Baptist Church. They're located just outside of Danville, Virginia. Those folk had prayed a long time for revival. I almost called them and told them I wasn't going to come, because all that was going on. I did drive back and forth on Monday and Tuesday to Danville and preach and come back every day, every night. But they were looking for revival. And I walked in, and the church house was packed, and God met with us. We saw God move every night. And it was such a blessing. And in the prayer room, prayer time, me and the pastor, I mentioned to him about Jeff and Darla. And so when he got up the first night, they never met me, didn't know me. I didn't know him, never been there. And it was just through the minister of the Highway Shepherd. One of his members had picked up Highway Shepherd CDs, give it to the preacher, and that's how I happened to end up there. But at any rate, he got up, didn't know me, didn't know Jeff and Darla, didn't know our church, didn't know anything about it. He said, I feel impressed to the Lord for our church to help this family. And so they kept bringing food in, and then everything I could put in the car on Wednesday night, I brought back. And to Jeff and Darla, and then for their, I know they greatly appreciate that. Thank you for helping as well. And I understand that the different ones have given different things. You have your Bible open to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 61. God, the Holy Ghost, Brother Donnie, asked a question. Some of you who come on Sunday nights, hope you'll come back tonight, by the way. I had one other question that I did not deal with in any length, and that was about ghosts. And somebody asked a question about ghosts. And so tonight, I'm going to do that, and from that out, it'll be a springboard to deal with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the one I know. Amen. I know the Holy Ghost. You know him, say amen. Amen. And so tonight, I'll say a word about what the Bible has to say about ghosts. Are they real, and what about them? And then I'll share something with you tonight from about the Holy Ghost as well. So you come back, be in the evening service tonight. But Brother Donnie had asked a question just in passing. Didn't he write it down? Asked me about one of the garments of our Lord. And I just thought, well, it's just in the Bible. But you know, I've learned, or to know by now, that there's nothing just in the Bible. Amen. It's kind of like Brother Tom said, things happen, but they don't just happen. And things are in the Bible, but they're not just in there to fill up a page. And so I have been studying now. I've got a notebook about that thick with things that God's showed me and helped me as I've done reference and everything else about garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so somewhere down the road, I'll preach a series along that, kind of tied in with Christmas and with the resurrection. So it may start just prior to the Christmas season with that. But at any rate, in my study, I ran across a verse. It's not related to the garments of the Lord, but it's related to our garments. And I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. You'll see what I'm talking about. In chapter number 61 of the book of Isaiah, I read verse number 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them. that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. One reason God blesses me and you so is so people can look at us and see the blessing of God on us. One reason he blessed us with joy and peace is so that when the Bible says when they see the hope that's in us, they want to know the reason of the hope that's in us. How is it that we can praise God when we lose everything? How is it that we can still praise God when we lose our health? How is it we can still say, thank God he's still God when we lose a family member? What gives us that hope? And that gives us an opportunity to share the gospel message. And he says here of Israel and their seed, that they're going to be blessed of the Lord. And when people see them, they'll say, these are the ones who the Lord hath blessed. And notice verse 10. Then it kind of changes. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. I'm interested in verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes after I pray on all dressed up and somewhere to go. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak to my heart now. Our Father, we have dear friends in our community and across our state that our Father have just barely enough clothes to put on their back. And God, I'm thankful for all the workers, the Lord public servants who've labored tirelessly now for all these days. God, strengthen them. I know they've left their families, bless their families while they're away. And God, keep them all safe. And I pray, God, for our friends across this state, Lord, many who've lost everything they have except for their clothing on their back. I pray, God, that, Lord, you bless those who will bless them. God, as we try to help do what we can and others across the state to rally around the residents of our state and, Lord, to be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. I pray, God, you'd help us to take every opportunity we can to be a help and a blessing. And now, God, I want to thank you as we think about this passage of Scripture that, Lord, you've blessed all of us here this morning. God, we all came with, Lord, good clothing on. But, Lord, there's a clothing far beyond the physical. There's that spiritual clothing that you've given to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And, God, I pray you'd make this truth very real to us now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I think about this passage of Scripture, of course, you realize that the first part, he's referring to the nation of Israel, even in the kingdom reign, about their blessing in the seed of Israel and how they're blessed and how God's going to take care of them. But then it becomes very personal to him in the verse number 11. And when he says that, in verse number 10, when he said, I'm going to greatly rejoice in the Lord because you have clothed me with the garments of salvation and with a robe of righteousness. And so the emphasis is not on the outward. It's not just on this physical clothing, but it's on the spiritual clothing. And the thought this morning that God spoke to my heart about is all dressed up with somewhere to go. I'm glad of that. Did you know that everybody in this building, you may live to be 100, but you're going to go somewhere. You either go to heaven or hell. And what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ in the meantime will make all the difference in the world. As I think about clothing, you know, I got to thinking about the fact that there are appropriate type of clothing for certain events. For instance, I'm a football fan. I didn't get to watch any yesterday, but I like football. But it'd be foolishness for somebody to go in if they said, I think I'm going to play for NC State or somebody, and all the guys are lined up, they got on their uniforms and everything, and you walk out there with just a T-shirt on and a pair of shorts. And number one, you'd be dead before long, and that attire would not be appropriate for that. And if you're going to go work, you certainly don't want to put on a suit coat unless you're a preacher. And you don't want to put on a suit coat. If you're going to be digging a ditch, or if you're going to be working in the yard, you don't want to dress up in church clothes to do that. Because there's certain clothing for certain events. that you want to do. I know that down outside of Savannah, there's a place called the Crab Shack. If you ever get a chance to go down there, matter of fact, I was talking to somebody from another state about it. They knew about it. But outside of Savannah, if you go towards Tybee Island, there's a place called the Crab Shack. And it's covered, and some of it is basically in an open-air restaurant situation. Some of it just has like a thatched roof over it. It's just a real good environment. But it's seafood. But their motto is this. It's where the elite eat with bare feet. Amen? So it's all right to go in there dressed with bare feet and everything, and it's excellent. If you ever get a chance to go, you'd enjoy it. It's a good family atmosphere there. You'd enjoy it. It's great. But I do know that there's some restaurants, when you come up, it says, you know, shoes or shirt and shoes are required. You know, that's kind of a moderate level. But then there are some places that you go, unless you are dressed in really nice dress clothes, you wouldn't be allowed to go in that restaurant to eat. Sometimes there are events, and they send out invitations, and they say it's a black tie event. That means you got to wear a certain type of clothing to get in. And so their clothing sometimes, there has to be a certain type of clothing for certain events. Sometimes there has to be a certain type of clothing for certain activities or other things. But then there are restrictions for entrance based on clothing. In other words, you got to have on the right kind of clothes to get in the place. Before you can ever enjoy the food or the event, you've got to come with the proper attire. And I'm telling you this morning, before you ever get into heaven, there's got to be the proper attire. I'm not talking about dresses or suits or anything like that, but I'm talking about there has to be the proper attire for you to get into heaven. Now, why is that? Why is there a need for that proper attire? I'm talking about spiritually speaking. He mentions here two things. He mentions that the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. I believe we have a reference in that in regard, if you go back to the book of Genesis. You don't have to turn, but I'll just refresh your memory once again as I think about this. The Lord has created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. They're in that garden, and they're placed there, and he said, you can take all of this around here. You enjoy all the benefits and blessings of being in the garden and being fashioned and created by the very hand of God. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat. Well, you know, Satan came, beguiled Eve and deceived Eve, and she took of the fruit, gave to her husband, he ate. And notice what it says in verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, and amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wert naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldn't eat? And then he goes on. He said, the woman gave it to me. And the woman said, Satan gave it to me. And then God pronounces a curse on them because of their disobedience. But I call your attention a little bit further in this chapter. If you would, please look at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins, and he clothed them. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the necessity and of the garments, particularly of righteousness and salvation. There can be no entrance into heaven unless you have on the right type of garment. And here is a story. It's a true story. It's a historical event that it pictures for us exactly what I'm talking about. It says in this passage, scripture, that God fashioned Adam out of dust, earth, breathed in his nostrils, breath of life. Man became a living soul, created Eve out of his rib. And they lived in perfect splendor. They fellowshiped with God. They walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. But they disobeyed God. And the Lord had said, you're not to eat of this fruit, and as soon as you eat of it, you're going to surely die. Now, if you read the biblical account, you can note this, that they took the fruit, but they did not die physically. They were still alive. They were still functioning. They were still thinking. They had their vision, and they had an emotional situation. They experienced fear. They were still alive, but they died spiritually. Something happened. God didn't put it in there just to have it in there. He said, in the day that you eat, you'll surely die. So when they took that fruit, something died. What was it? The Bible said that we are triune being. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. But they died spiritually that day. But I personally believe something else happened. I believe that when God fashioned them and made them, He made them in the image of God. In the image of God. God, the Bible said, is covered with His own glory. I believe that Adam and Eve were not naked in the sense that you and I think of nakedness. They were created, I think, robed in the glory of God. And when they sinned, they lost that. When you look at the Hebrew word there, it says, and if you notice your King James Bible, it's an italicized word. It said, and they knew they were naked. That word is italicized. In the Hebrew text, it means they knew they had become naked. They lost something. Something died. They lost that which made them fit to be in the presence of God. They lost that caused them to want to fellowship with God, to walk with God. But when they sinned, they failed. They sinned, they died spiritually. And the biblical term is that they were depraved. They had no goodness in them then. And they, instead of walking with God and fellowshipping with God, they were fearful of God. They were afraid of Him. Now notice here in this passage of Scripture about what they did. The Bible said that they made fig leaves to cover themselves. And then they said that when they heard the voice of God, they were afraid. As I prayed over this passage of Scripture, I studied this, they did not make the covering of fig leaves so they could fellowship with God. That was not their intent. Their intent was to hide what they perceived as to be their sin. They wanted to hide their sin. They were not interested really in fellowshipping with God, because if they thought they had been successful at covering their sin, they would not have been afraid to fellowship with Him. They wanted something to where that they could cover their sin and not have to be dealt with about it. And so many people today, they want to have a situation where they don't want fellowship with God, but they want to be somehow or another acceptable to God. They're not interested in walking with Him or fellowshipping with Him or praying or spending time in the Word of God or even around the house of God, but they just want to have something that will kind of cover their sin or hide them from God. And what better way to hide from God than to hide in the church house somewhere? What better way to hide from God than to act religious and to soothe your own conscience? Not really interested in intimacy with Him, not really interested in honoring Him or worshiping Him, but just something that would kind of, you know, put you on a plane to where He's not going to judge you. If we could just cover it up to where God can't see it, and we'll hide it with religion, we'll hide it, but we're not interested in intimacy relationship with Him. But God, that's not what He wants. First of all, their motive was wrong. The reason they made the fig leaf covering was to hide themselves. To hide themselves. They were not interested. Their motive was wrong in doing that. The material was wrong. They used fig leaves. It came out of the earth. Now, back when Ashlyn got married, my wife was going to do some decorating, and we have the fig tree out in the backyard, and it's got these real big leaves on it, and she thought it might be a good idea if she could use some of those fig leaves. And strangely, when she pulled the fig leaves off, even if she put them in water, the majority of them wilted overnight. They went to nothing. No, they didn't last like a magnolia leaf or whatever would last. And it just went away. I thought that was unusual. When I saw that, I thought that was unusual. I said, that's unusual that a leaf would just wither that quickly, even in water overnight. And I got, some reason or another, I went back this passage of Scripture. They picked the wrong material because it was earthy, came out of the earth. And the Bible says that there's no way that you and I can satisfy Him. You remember when Cain killed his brother Abel? The Bible said that Abel brought a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and Cain brought a gift out of the ground, a crop. God didn't accept it. because it has to be heavenly provision. And so earthly provision will not allow you to go into heaven. That is, joining a church, being religious, doing good deeds, all those things. The Bible said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Let me show you that verse. I quote that verse. I want you to turn you go back to the book of Isaiah. Maybe you held your place there. And go back to Isaiah chapter 64. All dressed up and somewhere to go. Now watch this. He said that there's a need for the proper attire. Notice what it said in chapter 64. I call your attention to verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I thought that was interesting the way the Holy Ghost of God worded that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That all of our righteousness, they just kind of wither like a leaf, like a fig leaf, because it doesn't last. And what you need, if you're going to live eternally in a place called heaven, you've got to have something that'll last forever. That's why he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You need everlasting life. You don't need fig leaves. You need something that the material they used was wrong. It wasn't God's choice. But then notice this, if you will, as you think about it further. Go over to the book of Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, the entrance into certain places, there has to be the proper attire. That's what I'm getting at. You got to wear the right kind of clothing. Now, I'm talking about a suit. I'm not talking about a tie. I'm not talking about a dress. I'm talking about spiritual clothing. You got to have the right type of clothing if you're going to get into this, what's fixing to happen, the place you're going to. And notice the Lord illustrates that in Matthew chapter number 22. And I got to turn back to it myself. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse number 11. Matthew 22, verse 11. And when the king came to see the guests, now they've been invited to a wedding. Verse 11. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, can I say this to you? That down here, when people talk to you about your relationship with God, you can give good answers. You may give an answer to satisfy the preacher. You may give an answer to satisfy that. In revival the other night, there was a great big old guy. He must have been 6'4", great big old guy. And in the invitation, he broke down and wept like a baby. And I saw some of the people in the church go talk with him, and then they came and got me, and we went back in the back, and we knelt and prayed with him. His name's Brandon. Please remember him in prayer. Great big guy. You know what he said? He said, I've been pretending for all these years. He had his mom and daddy food. He had the church food. He had everybody else food. But he's 40-something years old. But when you stand before God, you'll be speechless. You may can fool everybody up, but you won't be able to fool him. If you don't have on the right attire, you don't get to go in. And he said here in this passage of Scripture, he said that he was speechless in verse 13, and then said the king unto the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. You don't get in unless you have on the right attire. You don't get into the marriage supper. You don't get into to heaven itself unless you have the right attire. Now, what about it? Adam and Eve, they had the wrong motive. They just wanted to hide their sin. They just don't want to have to face it. They want to deal with it. They didn't want to fellowship with God. They didn't necessarily want to walk with God in the garden anymore. They didn't necessarily want him to be a part of their life. They certainly didn't want him to rule their life. And then they chose to hide themselves with things that would not hide them. But now come with me to the next point that I want to deal with, and that is this, the proper attire. He said back in Isaiah chapter 61, and he said this, he said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Number one, let me say this to you. Your covering has to come from the proper source. He hath clothed me. He chose it. Now, my wife saw on Facebook just yesterday that one of our young ladies has already got her wedding gown, and Jessica's already got her wedding gown. And I'm sure they had a lot to do with it in picking it out. Most of them did pick it out. But this wedding gown is unusual. This attire that getting heaven is a little bit unusual. You don't get to pick it out. He picked it out. He hath clothed me. He chose. It was his choice. What would it take for me to get into his presence? He gets to choose. And here's what he chose. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You have to be clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get in. And he did it. He said, he hath clothed me. It was his choice. He hath clothed me. It's the proper selection. He chose exactly what I need, and he provided it for me through the death of his dear son. It is the garment of salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. When you in Christ, you put on righteousness. That's the biblical doctrine of imputation. All of his righteousness is put on us. And he wanted you to go. Now, sadly, I heard somebody advertise a wedding dress on, well, it was a radio program, a call-in radio type radio program. I won't call any name. But the young lady, well, I think it was like her mother. And she said, if we've got a wedding dress and we'll take such and such amount for it, it has never been worn. And, you know, whoever was taking the phone call didn't ask any details. But she voluntarily said, the wedding was called off. You think about that. That all of that had been bought and it was called off. It was purchased, but never worn. And can I tell you that he's chose the right garment for you? Amen. He's already made provision for you. Your robe of righteousness is already right there in the royal closet in heaven. The garment of salvation, he's already got it. I'm telling you right now, it's splendid. You never see anything like it. And it's for you. But only if you're willing to put it on. Only if you're willing to accept him as your Savior. Only if you're willing to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He clothed us, the Bible said. He clothed us. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. And he clothed us with that. Look with me, please, just real quick, if you will, over in the book of Romans chapter 3. And here's this wonderful passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 3. And I read it, verse number 21. It says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He said this. He said it's for everybody. It's for all. He's got it for everybody. All, and there's one qualifying word in there, who'll believe. Who'll believe. If you would believe, if you'd accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you'd be clothed with that garment of righteousness. You'd be clothed with that robe of salvation, and it's already available to you. It's just a matter of you accepting it, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from your sin and turning to the Savior. I said, all dressed up and somewhere to go. Let me give you the to-go part of it. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. When you get saved by the grace of God and you put on that wonderful robe of righteousness, it is our salvation. It is our sins washed. It's becoming a child of God. It's him forgiving every sin we've ever done, every sin we will do. It is our entrance into heaven. And notice what it says in the book of Revelation, just quickly, verse number 9. And he says this to us. Well, let me read verse number 8. I need to read that. It said this, Well, let's read verse 7. That's a good verse too. Just read verse 7. Let us be glad, because it sounds so much like Isaiah 61, doesn't it? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the linen, or fine linen, is the righteousness of the saints, not their personal, but the righteousness that he's given us in Romans chapter 3. And he said unto them, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Here we are. Where do you get to go if you get clothed in that robe of salvation and that garment of salvation, that robe of righteousness? You get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Remember in Matthew, if you didn't have the right wedding garment on, you couldn't get in. But he said it's to all and upon all who will believe. Anybody who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can go. He's already got it for you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to labor for it. All not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And it's for us. You can put on that robe of righteousness. You can be born again by the grace of God, and you get to go to heaven. Your membership won't take you. Church membership won't take you. Your good works will not take you. Baptism won't take you. It has to be that robe of righteousness. It has to be the garment of salvation that was given by the Lord. And thank the Lord for that. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 61. Let me read this one last time to you. Notice what it said in this passage of Scripture. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and the bride adorneth herself with jewels. We all dressed up, but we've got somewhere to go. We get to go to heaven, not because of anything we've done, because of what he's done for us. My dear friend, notice this. That destination is because we've trusted him as our Savior and Lord. Oh, listen, it's a proper relationship. It's not just for show. It's just not to be seen of men, but we're going somewhere. It's the attire you have to wear to get to go to heaven. It is the fine linen of his righteousness that he clothes us with. We enter into heaven, everybody be dressed just alike. We'll be clothed in his righteousness. Oh, by the way, I left out a little something I think I need to go back and mention. Everybody will be wearing the same outfit. Now, that for women sometimes, that's horrible. You know, go somewhere and, hey, she got on a dress just like mine. You know, most of the time I can go around and I say, you've been to Hamrick's. You know, I love Hamrick's. I do love Hamrick's. But you know, everybody be wearing the same thing. It's not Baptist or Methodist, Assembly of God, Church of God. We put on Christ. We're clothed in his righteousness. And it's the fine linen of the saints, which is the righteousness of the saints, which the righteousness of the saints is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been doing study on these garments. And I don't know. I know Brother David and Brother Gary, they've studied long Greek and Hebrew. And I just look at the concordances, this, that, and the other. But boy, I ran across something I was reading. In fact, Dr. Ian Paisley, he is a great preacher from Ireland. He's in heaven now. But I was reading something about that in Genesis behind him. And he made reference to something. I tried to verify it, and I know it's so. He said, when you look at that phrase in the book of Genesis chapter 3, in that last verse I read to you where it says, and God clothed them with skins of the animal. He said the word skins is made plural there, them and then skins. But actually the word skins is a singular word in the Hebrew. He clothed them with skin, not this skin. But whatever animal he slew, it was sufficient to cover both of them. I'm gonna let that soak just a minute. The one sacrifice was sufficient to cover both of them. Skinned. The Holy Ghost I'm going to preach on tonight, if y'all stand where I'd feel him, you can feel him. One sacrifice forever. His name is Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Every person that goes into heaven is going to be clothed with the same righteousness. It is His righteousness. Oh, listen, thank God for that. Thank God for that. And we rejoice in the fact that He did that for us and that we get to go. But I want you to understand, it's not just for show. Sometimes people dress, and I have on some clothing right now that some friends gave me. And about everything I've got, somebody gave me. And I'm thankful for it. But when I got saved, He gave me a robe of righteousness, which is His righteousness. And I wear it, and when I go into heaven, that'll be my pass to get in. I have the right attire on, and if you get to go, you will too. And then I notice in this, the praiseful response. It said, listen, when you get saved by the grace of God, it's just a natural thing. He said, greatly rejoice, and He said, I will be joyful. When you get saved by the grace of God, and you know you don't have to do it, you know it's not by works, it's by righteousness, it's by grace. When you understand that concept, boy, listen, you'll sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun, because He hath clothed me. Will you bow with your heads in prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Thank God for the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. It's a necessary attire. Nobody gets admitted. You can't get in unless you got on the right attire, unless you're clothed properly. And that is in His righteousness. And how do you get that, Brother Billy? It's already been purchased. It was purchased yon on Calvary. He died and shed His blood to redeem us. He paid for our sin debt, every one of our sins. And He purchased for us eternal redemption, it says in the book of Hebrews. My dear friend, it's available to you. And what happens is simply this, that all of your sin has already been rolled to His account, but all of His righteousness will be, you'll be clothed in His righteousness. When God the Father looks on you, He doesn't see you, He sees His dear Son and all of His righteousness. Do you know that? Oh, listen, it's such a struggle to try to be saved, to try to satisfy God, to please God. It's not only difficult, it is absolutely impossible. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we always equate that to acts of faith and all that, but really, the very basic is salvation. Nothing will please Him but our faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please Him. Have you ever trusted Jesus and Jesus alone as your Savior? If you have, then you have been clothed with a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness, and the natural result of that is rejoicing and praise. You're not fearful of God. You want to fellowship with Him. You want to be around His people. You want to be around the house of God. You want to be around the things of God. If you've been clothed, you have the joy. You have the peace. Now, do you have that peace? Do you have that joy? Then maybe you didn't really get clothed. Maybe you're trying to clothe yourself and dress yourself. But my dear friend, He can clothe you, and it'll make you perfectly acceptable in the presence of God when you leave this world. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will do what only You could do. Please convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and draw people by Your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. I ask right now, Lord God, that, Lord, if there are folk here who've never been saved, they may have been members of a church, may have been baptized, maybe tried their very best to go to heaven, but yet there's not a sense of peace or joy. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God this morning makes real to them that they must have on the proper attire. They've got to be clothed right. You have to do it. And You clothe them with the righteousness of Your dear Son when they accept Him as Savior. I pray, God, this morning You do that. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, I pray, Lord, that we'd not let the world or circumstance or the flesh or the devil rob us of the joy that we have in Jesus. You said to the disciples, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Help us, our Father, to eternally thank you and rejoice that we are saved by the grace of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray, God, you speak to hearts. Would you stand, please? Because of the way our auditorium is arranged for Judgment House, I thank the Lord for that ministry. It's a little difficult for you to get to the aisles. Very difficult for you to get right to the front. But I'm glad that it's not a distance, but it's the decision you make right now that'll make the difference. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, right now, would you believe on Him? He said it is to all and for all that will believe. That righteousness is a matter of believing. Will you right now by faith turn from your sin and turn to the Savior and say, oh God, I want to be saved. God, will you clothe me? I'm tired of trying it myself. God, I give up. I raise my hand in total surrender. God, I trust your unmerited favor, your grace, your mercy, and I have no plea except for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, save me right now. If you're in that state this morning, if I could talk with you, pray with you, I'd be glad to do it. There are men and women on either side of this auditorium. If you came, you wanted somebody to deal with you, pray with you. Normally, I invite everybody to come, and you're welcome to come. It's like I said, it's a little difficult. But if we can help you, we want to do it. But please don't hesitate to gather on the sides, and we'll get to you. And people will let you out, let you get around. But if you have a burden or question, don't leave this morning without somebody helping you, praying with you, and I'd be glad to do that. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, oh God, to do a work in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.